Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. If I don't see you folks between now and the new year, I pray that you'll have a healthy, a safe, and a blessed holidays, especially as you get together with our family and friends. It's a dangerous world out there, and that's my prayer for you. One thing I notice about driving nowadays, it seems to be fashionable to run red lights, so be careful at intersections. Don't take it for granted when the light turns green. So yeah, please be careful. There's a contemporary Christian song that says, our God is an awesome God, and I would say amen to that. He is an awesome God, and in so many ways that we can't comprehend. For the next few minutes, I want to share with you a personal experience that happened to me back in 1977, that God revealed himself to me in creation that really caused my heart to stand in awe of him, and a particular event that happened to me back in 1977. In 1976, I joined the Navy, and my orders were to report to Long Beach Naval Yard, and I was stationed aboard a ship by the name of the USS Robinson. It was a guided missile destroyer. It was in dry dock when I reported to it. And if you've ever seen a dry dock before, those things are huge. If you think Ford Field, the football field, is huge, imagine a big pit. I mean, that thing is big. And so when I reported to my ship, it was being overhauled from top to bottom, from front to back. The latest and greatest in stuff are weaponry, electronics, radar. They're overhauling the engines. They're getting a fresh paint job, the works. They're giving the works. And that's what I did for a while. Then came the day when they flooded the dock and they said, okay, we're going on a three-day sea trial. So we're going on a three-day sea trial. We're sailing about 100 or so odd miles from Los Angeles, the coast of California. We're out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And I slept up in the bow of the ship, right in the bow of the ship. We're doing about 30 knots. And about 2 a.m. in the morning, an individual woke me up and he says, report to the fantail for duty, for watch. Now you might think, okay, if we got the latest and greatest radar, why do we need somebody to be out in the open to watch for something? But it's just a naval custom. So when I first woke up, the ship is going through the paces. We're in the bow of the ship, and my knees are going like this, and it's going like this, and up and down. And I never had sea legs prior to that. So I staggered to the fantail, 2 a.m. in the morning. And when I looked up, how many have been to the Creation Museum, the planetarium? How many have seen that? On that particular night, at this night in September, I experienced something I'll never forget what I saw. I saw the biggest planetarium you could ever see in person. In all four directions, from horizon to horizon, from north to south, east to west, a 360-degree circumference, nothing but stars. Nothing but stars. It was the most beautiful sight I have ever seen in my life. And we're talking miles. We're in the middle of the ocean, east, west, north, south, bow to stern. I never saw so many stars in all my life. And I was just standing in awe of God's creation. It was so beautiful. It was so clear. It was so real. And to add to that, the moon was coming up over another horizon. And that was the biggest I ever seen the moon in my life. It was just beautiful. And that is in my memory, and I never, never forgot that. Just how awesome our God is. Well, I'd like for us to turn in our Bibles to Psalm 119. And we're going to basically look at two verses, Psalm 119, verses 163. So on that particular day, I don't know how many years ago, that'd be 23 and 17, 40 years ago, I really stood in awe of God's creation. But today, with God's help, we're going to stand in awe of His Word. We're going to stand in awe of this book that God has given us. So Psalm 119, verses 161 and 162. Now, while I'm still getting there, I want to let you folks know that Psalm 119 is one of my most favorite chapters in the Bible. And hopefully you'll ask me, why is it my most favorite chapter? Well, it's very simple. The subject is the Word of God. Very simple. The whole chapter, out of 176 verses, all but about three or four, is a reference to the Word of God, even though it uses the word judgments, the law, and so forth. Each of these verses, except for about four, is a reference to the written Word of God, okay? So that's why I love it. That's why I love this particular chapter. Okay, now I'm reading from the Authorized, and I'm going to read Psalm 119, verse 161 through 163. The unknown writer says, "Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of what? Thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that finds great spoil," or some translations say great treasure. "I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love." Okay? Now, in spite of the psalmist's affliction and his probably persecution, these three little verses yield four responses that the psalmist had about the Word of God that you and I, we likewise, need to possess and practice. What are these four responses? Well, in verse 161b, he responds with an attitude of awe for God's Word. An attitude of awe for God's written Word. And it goes on to say in verse 162a, he responds with an answer. "I rejoice at thy Word." And then moving on, he responds with an anticipation. That is, to find great treasure. And then in verse 163, he responds with adoration for God's Word, okay? So the psalmist had four responses to the Word of God. So going back to verse 161b, he responds with an attitude of awe. Now, when I took the Ezekiel Project School of Evangelism back in 1997, it was a 9-month Bible school. The one thing I really appreciated about that school, besides all the things that I learned, is attitude is the most important ingredient in life. God obviously takes every believer and gives you a certain amount of abilities, a gift or gifts, and all that stuff, and He gives us abilities, but attitude is the most important ingredient in life for every circumstance. What is my attitude? And sometimes, let's be honest, our attitude is not always the best. Even as Christians, it's not always the best. So attitude is the most important ingredient. And notice the origin of his all. It's from his heart. And notice the object of the attitude of all. It's the Word of God. It's the written Word of God. Think about how many men and women have died since the Gutenberg Press, which the first Bible came off of. How many men and women have lost their lives to get this book in your hand and my hand? Think of that. How many have been martyred? How many have went to the stake? How many have been persecuted? How many have died so you and I could have this book in our hands? Think about that. Now, I think you and I need to have this attitude too. I'm going to ask you a question. Where can you and I find a book, any book under heaven, that has a supernatural author? All books under heaven, and they're still coming off the printing presses, are written by men, not under the inspiration of God, but this book is what? Under the inspiration of God. If we were to look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, if you wish to turn there, that's fine. And I will read to you what it says. It reminds us that the Holy Spirit is the author of the Word of God. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were what? Moved by the Holy Ghost. So, that's one reminder that this tremendous book was inspired or written by the Holy Spirit using men, using their characters, using their personality to write what God wanted them to write. So where are you and I going to find a book that has a supernatural author? There is none. This book is unique. Where are we going to find any book under heaven that has a supernatural answer for man's sin? Science doesn't talk about man's sin. Philosophy doesn't talk about man's sin. The academia doesn't talk about man's sin. So what do we do? What is the cure for man's sin? Well, it's the gospel, which is in the Word of God. I love what Paul wrote in Romans. We all have a problem called sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that does good, no, not one. The vanity of trying to earn our way into heaven. The wages of sin is what? Death. If we break a law, if we break a rule in our parents' house, we break a rule in society, there's a consequence. Well, it's the same way with God when we break His laws. In thoughts, words, or deeds, there's a consequence. And it says the wages or the price is what? Death or separation. Eternal separation from God. And then we have the payment for our sins. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that He was buried and He rose again the third day according to Scriptures. The beauty, the wonder of Christmas is the Lord Jesus was born into this world for one purpose. To die on a cross. It's called substitution. That's what the world wants to celebrate His birth, but they don't want anything to do with His death. But think about that. He came into the world to save sinners. That meant He had to die on a cross. And it's an empty tomb. And He rose again from the dead. And then the greatest question a mortal could ask was in the book of Acts. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. I did that 57 years ago when I was confronted with the gospel. I understood I was a sinner. I understood I was lost. And I understood I couldn't save myself. And I put my little faith in a big God, His Son, to save me. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. So this book has the answer for man's sin. It's the gospel. Where are you going to find a book under heaven that is a supernatural bomb, not B-O-M-B, but B-A-L-M, for our trials? What do you do in your trials? What do you do in your troubles? Where do you go to? Well, we go to the Word of God because it has a supernatural ministry. If you want to turn to verses 49 and 50 in Psalm 119, please turn there. Now, there's numerous verses within this chapter about how the Word of God, the written Word of God, ministers in our trials, in our tears, in our worries, in our fears. I love these two verses in Psalm 119, verses 49 and 50. The beginning of the verse is actually a prayer. The psalmist says, "Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused three benefits, upon which thou hast caused me, number one, to hope. This is my comfort in my present affliction, for thy word hath quickened me or revived me." Three blessings when we go to the Word of God. renewed hope, divine comfort, and sweet revival. In other words, it's the Word of God. It takes the focus off of you and I, and it lifts our hearts, what, heavenward. Three divine blessings in that when we remember the Word of God. Renewed hope, divine comfort, and revival. That's the beauty of this book. Now, those are only a couple verses. I know you all got your favorites. Where are we going to find a book under heaven that is a supernatural GPS? Today, of course, our cell phones are a big item in our lives. But I want to tell you that this book excels any GPS in this world. It excels Facebook. It excels voicemail. It excels all texts. This book is what? Living and powerful. Hebrews 4:12. This book is living and powerful, and God wants to talk to us in an inaudible voice, and He does through this book. It is living and powerful. He loves to talk to you and I through this book. Are we listening? Are we listening to Him? Are we searching for Him? Lord, I want to know You. Talk to me. Reveal Yourself to me. Show me what I must do, where I must go, how I should do this. He loves to talk to us. This book is living and powerful. Are we listening? There is another contemporary song. I'm not going to sing it to you, but I want to. And I appreciate these words immensely. I don't remember who wrote it. And whoever wrote it is talking about our God. It says, "You are beautiful beyond description. Too marvelous for words. Too wonderful for comprehension. Like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp Your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of Your love? You are beautiful beyond description. Majesty enthroned above." And here's the last part I love. "And I stand in all of You. I stand in all of You." Now, I am convinced that the more you and I were to stand in all of this book, that the more the written Word, the more that you and I are going to stand in all of His Son, who is the living Word. Do you agree with that? The more you and I invest in this book, the written Word, we're going to stand in all of the living Word, our Savior. Well, the question I have for you today is, do you and I have this response? Do we stand in all of this book? Do you? Do I? I certainly do. Do I understand everything? No. Do I practice everything in it? No. But I certainly have an attitude. This is the best thing I can invest my time in. And I hope you agree with that. Well, moving on to verse 162, it says, "I rejoice at Thy word." He responds with an answer, "I rejoice at Thy word." Who or what do you rejoice in? You know, there's a lot of things to make us rejoice. Now, this is an inward response also, but it also works its way outward. And I was trying to find some reasons from God's Word, reasons why you and I, if we know the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior, what are some good reasons to rejoice? Would you turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 20 for one memento? Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Just 1 minute. What are some good reasons to rejoice in the Word of God? Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Okay. Luke chapter 10. Now, the Lord Jesus is speaking. The disciples just came back from some ministry, and they were kind of, you know, really, they were excited about what God has done for them. In Luke chapter 10, verse 20, the Lord Jesus, and notice who's speaking, he says, "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you. But notice the next sentence. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Think about that. If you have come to a point in your life where you realize you were a sinner, you were lost and couldn't save yourself, and you trust in the Lord Jesus, it says your name is in the book of life. Wow, what security, what peace, what a promise. Now, one of my favorite verses to complement this, even though it's Old Testament, and I will quote it to you, talking about God's salvation. Psalm 70, verse 4. It says, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Now, the gospel's not in the Old Testament there, but nonetheless, I love that verse. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in you. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Philippians 4:4. Can anybody quote that? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And Paul wrote that epistle. He didn't write that from the beach on some Mediterranean resort with a glass of lemonade. He wrote that from a Roman prison. And he said, rejoice in the Lord always. He didn't say rejoice in the Lord when things are going well or I got the time. He said rejoice in the Lord always. Always. Notice the force of the word always, regardless of our circumstances. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. I love 1 Peter 1, 8. I'm going to read verse 9. I don't remember verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, 8, talking about the invisible God, the invisible Savior who someday we shall see, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full glory. And notice verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I love those verses. Whom having not seen. I can't see my Savior, but I can sure hear him through his word, and it just renews my joy in him. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And someday our faith will turn to sight. Then it's going to be joy unending. Unending. If you think there are things that make us happy today, what's it going to be like in his presence? Unending joy. Unending joy. I can't comprehend that, but I believe that. I got a little toy right here. That it's a tremendous encouragement to me, and I hope you can bear with me for a minute. You ever seen one of these? I bought this in Ace Hardware in Richmond. I couldn't resist it. I've seen these before. It's called a Sunny Jiggler. It costs $1.99, like it's really expensive, you know. And the neat thing is, now I put this in my window facing the east, facing the sunshine. And the neat thing is, hopefully it'll start performing here in a minute. You need more light. You know, this little toy is actually a tremendous demonstration of the Christian life. You know that. How would you describe the motion? What do you think? How would you describe the motion of the up and down? Happiness? Rejoicing? Why is my friend Gladys rejoicing? Because of the light, right? Because of the light. She has photoelectric cells in her. And the more light, the more rejoicing. Well, it's the same way with the Word of God. The entrance of thy words give us light. So when you and I open our Bibles, it's giving what? The light of God's Word in our hearts and minds. And the more you and I delight in, desire the Word, invest in the Word, well, the more rejoicing. Does that make sense? But when you cut the light off,
then all of a sudden she's not rejoicing too much. You know, someone said, for us who are Christians, if you're not rejoicing in your salvation, our salvation, not rejoicing in the Word of God and other things, there's something wrong in your life and my life. There's something wrong if you and I are not rejoicing today. There's something wrong. Now, I don't know what that is. It could be sin. It could be our neglect to spend time with the Lord. It could be anything, but God allows U-turns. God allows U-turns, and so if you're not rejoicing today, I would encourage you and challenge you to get back into the Bible. When it comes to rejoicing, there are so many times in my life when all of a sudden I feel like one verse, maybe just one verse is speaking to me, and I am over the moon that God is speaking to me, and that's what causes my heart to rejoice, is when I invest in this book. And He can do that for any one of us. Are we rejoicing in the Word? Are we rejoicing in the Word? Well, again, I'm convinced the more you and I rejoice in God's written Word, the more we rejoice in God's Son, our Savior, the living Word. Do you and I have this response? We rejoice at this book. Do you and I have this response? Well, moving on, and back to Psalm 161, now part B of 162, He responds with an anticipation. We know that Christmas is coming up. Some of us have great anxieties about Christmas, you know, especially, you know, buying gifts, running all around. Now, when I was younger, many moons ago, I won't deny, I look forward to Christmas with great anticipation. What kind of toys am I going to get? You know, we all experience anticipation in some way, shape, or form. But notice the psalmist's anticipation to find great spoil or to find great treasure. This book contains treasures innumerable. So many truths and treasures. I thought of a couple verses about treasure. You don't have to turn to Matthew 6:21, but the Lord Jesus is speaking, and I love the challenge of this verse. He says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, that's a powerful principle. Think about that. In everyday life and living, He says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be." And it can only be in one or two places in daily living. It's either in the things of this world or the things of heaven. There's no in between. It's either in the things of this world or the things of heaven. And God help us that we'd be more heavenly minded. If you want to find a great prayer for finding treasure, look at Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. We're running out of time, but that is a great prayer. But I love Psalm 119, verse 18. Anybody know that verse, Psalm 119, verse 18? This is a great prayer. Can anybody quote Psalm 119, verse 18? Okay. "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." In other words, Lord, please reveal your glory to me. Please reveal these truths. Please reveal these treasures about you. It's in this book. They're everywhere. From Genesis to Revelation, they're everywhere. But especially in the New Testament, of course. But, you know, the Word of God, such a river of pleasure, such a gold mine of infinite wealth. "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things out of thy law." And then Paul's pursuit. I love Paul's testimony in Philippians 3, 7 and 8. Paul says, "But what things were gained to me, I count but loss. Yea, I count all things but loss." I count all things but loss. But, okay, I'm going to look. I'm forgetting it now. "But what things were gained to me, I count loss. I count all things but loss." And notice the reason. "For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And I suffered a loss of all things that, okay, now I'm going a little too fast here. But anyway, Philippians 3, 7, and 8, I'll read them to you instead of trying to repeat it. I love his attitude. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, and notice the premier reason. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And it goes on to say, that I may know him. God delights to, he delights to reveal himself to you and I through this precious book. He delights to do that. Are we investing the time? Now, in one of our hymns, it's called The Believer's Prayer. It's in page 219. I'm just going to read that sentence to you. It's called The Believer's Prayer. And it starts off with, it says, "Open thou mine eyes, Lord." And that's Psalm 119, verse 18. "Open thou mine eyes, Lord, that I may behold in thy word rich treasures, better far than gold. Let me know my need, Lord, in thy glory see, grow in grace and knowledge, more and more like thee." I love that. I really, really love that. And there's others, of course. Well, again, I am convinced that more than you and I anticipate that when we open this book to anticipate, find truths and treasures about our precious Savior, that the more you and I are going to what? Long for him and to be with him in glory. The more you and I anticipate finding precious truths and treasures about our God, that the more we're going to long to be with him, yes, forever. Do you and I have this response? Well, the final thing is in verse 163, he responds with adoration for God's word. Turn to Psalm 119, verse 140, please. He responds with adoration, and notice the object of his adoration. It's the word of God. Adoration demands an object. Notice the object of his adoration. It's the word of God. Psalm 119, the same author who wrote these verses, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loves it." Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Do you and I have a love for the Word of God? Do you and I have a love for the Word of God? This very unique book, do we have a love like that? And then Psalm 119, verse 97. Here's something I wish I really knew the value of, the art of meditation. The art of meditation, Psalm 119, verse 97. "Oh, how I love thy law!" Exclamation mark. It is my meditation all the day long. It is my meditation all the day long. I must confess, as soon as I walk out of the door of my house where I live, so many things to think about. So many things to think about. I wish I really knew the value of meditating on God's word from the rising of the sun to going down the same. Psalm 1, verse 2, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates in it day and night." I wish I really knew the value of meditation instead of thinking about vain things, empty things. I really do. But it's not too late. It's not too late to do that. There's an individual named Bernard of Clairvaux. I think he was an Old Testament guy. Oh, forgive my little thing here. It's about over. Bernard, time to shut down. Bernard of Clairvaux said this, "What we love, we shall grow to resemble." What you and I love, we shall grow to resemble. And I am convinced that the more you and I seek and love this book and try to obey it, the sacred pages, the more we will long for and love the Rock of Ages. The more you and I both seek and love the sacred pages, these sacred pages, the more we will love and long for the Rock of Ages. Do you and I have this response? What has our affection? It's either the things of this world or the things above. Where do our affections lie? Well, all I can say is when we invest in this book, it'll change our thinking. Before I close in prayer, I want to share with you my most favorite quote about the Word of God. Maybe you've heard this before. Some books inform, some books reform, but only one book transforms. You see, God's in the business of taking you and I, still sinners, saved by grace, and changing us from the inside out. We live in a world that worries about the outside, but God's in the business of changing you and I from the inside outside. And I love this book because, you know what? Like the bumper sticker says, have mercy, have patience with me. God's not done with me yet. He's still working on me, and he's still working on you. But this book has the power to transform our thinking, transform our talking, and our way of living. God help us that we really invest in this book. I love this book. I wish I obeyed everything it said, but I still love this book. My heart stands in all of that book. What about you? Let's close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, again, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the blessed author of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. Thank you for this tremendous possession. Didn't the Lord Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my book, my word, shall never pass away? Everything we own is going to pass away, but not your book. Oh, Lord, you know our hearts where we were at today. We who do seek you through the word, you know who we are. You know what we're doing. If we're not seeking your face through the word of God, have mercy on us and help us to turn from our ways. And for us who are seeking your word, give us a stronger, a deeper desire to seek your face through the word of God. May God help us to have these four responses like the psalmist. He responded with an attitude of awe. He rejoiced. He responded with an answer. He rejoiced at your word. He responded with anticipation. And he responded with adoration. God help us to have these two. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Well, it was in the archives. I tweaked it a little bit.